Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2264, with a release date of Friday, March 19th, 2021, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Eris is back on the air from the Columbus module. Hams activate during a record storm in Colorado, and there's optimism for two major radio events later this year. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2264, comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's report with good news for U.S. astronauts aboard the International Space Station. Their amateur radio came back on the air just in time to keep a date with some youngsters in Australia. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, tells us more.
The return to service of the Eris Columbus radio was especially good news to school children in Adelaide, Australia, who were able to keep their date with astronaut Shannon Walker, KD5DXB, on March 17th. During a spacewalk with Victor Glover, KI5BKC, just a few days earlier, astronaut Mike Hopkins, KF5LJG, restored the cabling outside the ISS to its original configuration. A test of the equipment in packet mode, as the ISS passed over the west coast of the United States, was a success. The signals were almost immediately heard in Idaho, Utah, and California, and later in South America and the Middle East. The radio had been out of service since a malfunction was detected in late January, just as the ISS attempted a QSO with students in Wyoming. Fortunately, hams were able to conduct subsequent Eris contacts with schools using the cosmonaut's radio in the service module, thanks to Sergei Sambarov, RV3DR. Now that the radio's antenna connection is fixed, the grateful students at Goodwood Primary School have become the first phone contacts made with the newly reconnected Columbus Module radio. Next up will be students at the Oakwood School in Morgan Hill, California on Monday, March 22nd. And then, 2 days later, it's back to Down Under with students at the School of Information Technology and Mathematical Sciences in Mawson Lakes, South Australia. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
Don't worry, time isn't going to stand still anytime soon, but it's definitely going to be undergoing an upgrade. Well, maybe not time itself, but the timekeeping broadcast system of WWVB, the radio station of the National Institutes of Standards and Technology near Fort Collins, Colorado. An announcement on its webpage reports that because of work begun on March 9th, the transmitter may be operating on a single antenna at about 30 kilowatts of radiated power for periods of several days. There may even be occasional outages. The webpage notes, quote, "Periods of reduced power operation lasting longer than 30 minutes will be logged on the WWVB antenna configuration and power webpage, and any outage longer than 5 minutes duration will be recorded on the WWVB outage webpage," end quote. Don't worry, the upgrade being undertaken is designed to improve the reliability of the signal so that things are bound to get better by March 31st. When the upgrade is expected to be finished. A record snowstorm hit Colorado, and one local Aries team was able to dig in and help. Here's Amanda Alden, K1DDN, with those details.
Members of Arapahoe County's Aries were deployed and ready for a snowstorm in Colorado that was declared Denver's fourth largest since 1881 and the second largest ever in March. After spending Saturday, March 13th on standby, 19 hams went into action the next morning, providing reports on weather and road conditions even as the snow continued unabated. Mike Curta, KD0UFO, the severe weather coordinator for the area's group, said that nearly 28 inches of snow fell in a little more than 24 hours and winds kicked up to 40 miles per hour. By Monday, March 15th, the hams had logged more than 260 hours working in support of the county sheriff's department as well as the city of Aurora. They assisted local agencies as officials got busy handling numerous storm-related crises, including the rescue of as many as 200 people who were left trapped in their cars. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Amanda Alden, K1DDN.
In Germany, a device marketed for its alleged healing powers has been banned for interfering with amateur radio communications. Ed Durant, DD5LP, picks up the story from here.
Marketers selling an electronic device in Germany claimed that for the steep price of 8,000 euro, the equivalent of more than 9,000 US dollars, it could awaken the healing powers of the human body by revitalizing its water content. Apparently, what is really awakened was amateur radio interference. A recent news report by the Associated Press said that the device being sold by the Swiss company Vasamatrix AG uses frequencies allocated for amateur radio operators. According to the DARC website, RFI has been reported by hams using the low end of 2 meters in the weak signal EME segment. A posting on the QRZ.com forum cited claims made by the device's developers that operation was based on principles used by Nikola Tesla and Georges Lakoski, claiming that it was especially effective because the human body is comprised of a high percentage of water. The RFI complaints are what set the regulator's actions in motion. The device's sale and use are now banned in Germany. Use of already purchased units would be a prosecutable offence. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Plans are moving forward cautiously for major on-site amateur radio events in Germany and in the UK. Ed Durant, DD5LP, fills us in.
Even as the organisers of the Ham Radio Friedrichshafen proceed with plans for a COVID-compliant in-person conference in June, they are also advising caution that plans may need to be modified to be a hybrid event with an online component. In a statement, organisers said they are taking into account the slow vaccination rate in Germany and how quarantine restrictions or test requirements could impact the number of foreign attendees. The 45th event is scheduled for June 25th through 27th. Meanwhile, organisers of the UK's National Hamfest also remain somewhat optimistic about their event to be held in September. The director said on the event website, "We are closely monitoring the ever-changing health landscape, government guidance and roadmap steps coming out of lockdown, and we are optimistic that we can arrive at a decision in June for this year's event." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
For members of the Radio Society of Great Britain, it's decision time again as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Voting has begun for the Radio Society of Great Britain's elections and will continue until 9 a.m. local time on Thursday the 22nd of April. Election details are available in the April issue of Radcom, which is currently being sent to RSGB members. The Society is also preparing for its annual general meeting, which will be held online and will be available on live stream on Saturday, the 24th of April. If members have questions for any of the directors, they'll be able to submit them in advance using the form available on the Society's website at rsgb.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Meanwhile, hams in Australia will be pleased to learn that the Australian Maritime College has indicated system changes are in the works to enable them to issue 2x1 contest call signs. The changes, however, are expected to take several months. Just a reminder, don't forget to get on the air between March 24th and March 30th as the amateur radio community says thanks and goodbye to American TV's popular Last Man Standing show, which put amateur radio back in prime time with its main character, Mike Baxter, KA0XTT. The show is ending its 9-year run. Be listening for special event station KA6LMS as operators coast to coast in the U.S. and in Canada call QRZ. If you're near your radio anywhere in the world, be listening on sideband, CW, FT8, D-Star, DMR, System Fusion, Satellite, Echolink, All-Star, and more. For details, visit the website gsbarc.org/LMS. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K6SIS repeater in Siskiyou County, California, on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. local time. High above the Earth, the Starlink fleet of satellites is growing, and Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us about the newest additions.
60 additional internet satellites were added to the Starlink fleet after a March 11th launch from Florida's Kennedy Space Center. The satellites, however, weren't the only thing of interest on board. A number of radio enthusiasts have been reporting on Reddit.com, Hackaday, and similar websites that they were able to receive the Falcon 9 spacecraft's telemetry downlink on 2232.5 MHz. Some of the innovators reported that they were able to demodulate the signal, convert it into binary data, and then plain text. Two hackers in particular were reported to have received the transmissions using a repurposed satellite dish and an open-source SDR peripheral known as HackRF. Of course, while they were all listening and decoding, most of the rest of us were simply waiting to learn that in the skies just 180 miles south of New Zealand, 60 newcomers now raised the total of the Starlink fleet to 1,265 satellites. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Do you remember last week's report about a Washington, D.C. traffic information station that was broadcasting a highway advisory that was 8 years old? We are happy to report this week that a similar low-power AM radio station in another U.S. city was used to broadcast an especially timely message directing people to a drive-through clinic to get their COVID-19 vaccine. The message went out on 1630 AM in Denver, Colorado, transmitting pre-recorded information in English and Spanish. It helped thousands of older Colorado residents arrive for their appointments at Coors Field, where 10,000 doses were given out. A group of hams in the UK believes that Slow CW provides the fast track to improving skills in code. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains.
Their numbers are not quite 500 strong, but these CW enthusiasts are hoping to attract new members and change all that. They're radio amateurs living primarily in the UK, and when they send CW, they send it slowly. The group is known on Facebook as Slow CW UK, but despite its base of operations in the UK, anyone from anywhere in the world is welcome to join. The hams meet most evenings on or near 3.555 MHz between 1930 and 2030 UTC and can often be heard calling CW slow, sending at about 10 words per minute. Their goal isn't just to have a QSO, but to improve sending and communications skills. Visit the Facebook page Slow CW UK for more details. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
This is a big year for amateur radio in India. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us why.
Since January, radio amateurs throughout India have been celebrating the 100th year since the first ham radio license was issued in that nation. It has been a very busy year as well for Nilkanta Chatterjee, VU3 Zulu Hotel Alpha, and Amrita Bose Chatterjee, VU3 Victor Charlie Victor, who have been involved in training throughout India through a group known as OSCAR, Open Source Classes for Amateur Radio. Nilkanta told Newsline in an email that OSCAR has been providing online webinars, homebrew sessions, coaching institutes for YLs, and when possible, antenna building workshops, also with a special emphasis on teaching YLs. OSCAR, which is a part of the Smart Future Foundation initiative, also has its own smartphone app in English, downloadable from Google Play. In addition, Nilkanta has been operating with the special call sign AT2YAR, marking the 100-year celebration. India's first licensed amateur was Amarendra Chandraguptu, who had the call sign 2JK 100 years ago. He was followed later that same year by Mukul Bose with the call sign 2HQ. By the 1930s, India still only had 50 licensed operators, a number that grew to 1,500 by 1980. Much later, India's former Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi was not only a supporter of amateur radio but a licensed operator himself, with the call sign VU2RG. India launched its first amateur radio satellite, the Hamsat, in 2005. Now there are more than 45,000 licensed hams in India as it moves into its second century on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In the world of DX, MOTS SM6LRR will be active as 8Q7MS from the Maldives between March 28th and April 10th. He's operating holiday style on mainly 40 through 15 meters using CW, but he will also be using some sideband as well. He does not plan to be on 160 or 80 meters and will post QSL information soon. Be listening for the special call sign DQ11WCA to be active from Germany until April 17th. Hams are activating different areas in the Worldwide Flora, Fauna, and World Castle Award programs, and successful contacts earn points in both award schemes. The station also has a DOK region number of WCA11 for the DLD award of the German Amateur Radio Club. There is no need to send QSL cards. All QSOs will be confirmed automatically via the Bureau. Members of the International Amateur Radio Contest DX Club are active as C7A during March for the World Meteorological Organization, a specialized agency of the United Nations. Operators are on 60 through 6 meters, including the work bands, and are using CW sideband and digital modes. You can also hear them in the CQ Worldwide WPX sideband contest being held March 27th to 28th. Send QSLs to UA3DX direct or by the Bureau. According to the group's QRZ.com page at press time, the DXCC status of this station based in Vienna, Austria is not yet defined by the DXAC or ARRL. Our final story of the week is for all of you who think it would be impossible, just impossible, to ever forget to renew your license. Here's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
The last name Garriott isn't one you easily forget if you're a ham and you follow the U.S. space program. The late astronaut Owen Garriott, W5LFL, is credited with having made the first QSO from space on amateur radio. That was in 1983 when he was aboard the space shuttle Columbia. His son is astronaut Richard Garriott, who was assigned the call sign W5KWQ, and who in proud tradition has also used amateur radio from space as part of the ARIS program. Richard has a lot of other accomplishments to his credit. He was the first person to have visited both the North and South Poles, and last month traveled to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, the deepest ocean trench on Earth. As accomplished as he may be, Richard still has some unfinished business, and it relates to amateur radio. His call sign apparently expired recently. So he took to Twitter on the 7th of March and in a reply to Trevor, M5AKA, acknowledged that the status of an ex-ham was only going to be temporary. Acknowledging the lapse, he tweeted, quote, "Will correct ASAP," end quote. His return to the ham bands should come a whole lot sooner than another goal he's got his eye on. Richard recently applied to be part of the Dear Moon Project, a private lunar tourism mission. The trip is planned aboard a SpaceX Starship in 2023. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
With thanks to the Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT News Service, the ARRL, Associated Press, CQ Magazine, David Bihar, K7DB, David Jordan, AA4KN, Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, Hackaday, Mike Curta, KD0UFO, Nilkantha Chatterjee, VU3ZHA, the NIST, Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ.com, Radio World, Radio Society of Great Britain, Southgate Amateur Radio News, ShortwaveRadio.de, Twitter, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide. I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2021, all rights reserved.